Hello, everyone. I am so pleased that I get to communicate to you today. I know that we are being distanced and separated because of the recent concerns about the coronavirus, and we understand that. We're trying to be very, very respectful of that, and we want to be guarded, but we also want to move in faith. So I'm so thankful that I get to communicate to you in your homes today with this social media that we have. So I just pray that this will be a blessing for you. Let's pray before we begin. Father God, I want to thank you in Jesus' name for your love and grace and mercy, for your concern for us, Father. And Father, for you just being so ready to address our concerns. We pray, Father, for a quick resolution to the problems that we have today in our lives. And the big one that seems to be facing us is just this virus and how we should deal with it. And Father, we're praying that you would bless all the caregivers, the nurses, the doctors, those who are working so diligently, Father, to try to find a cure. We just pray that you'd bless them and bless their efforts. Father, we're also asking that you would just bless us, that we wouldn't be moving in panic or be overwhelmed with fear, but Father, we'd be trusting you. Thank you again that we can look at your word today together and really consider the cross more deeply. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have been in this series, Considering the Cross. We began the month of March, and we have addressed so far how the cross reminds us of Christ's crucifixion and the primary reason why the cross was necessary for a just and a holy God to make things right, and that by virtue of the cross, God has made reconciliation possible with us and himself and with one another. Now, so the benefits that are made available through the cross of Christ are just, man, they're incredible. They're incredible. So by way of review, here are just a few that we've already considered in some manner. First of all, on the cross, Jesus atoned for, that means he paid for, every sin we ever committed or ever will. And God nailed the record of our sins and transgressions to that cross. And praise be to God that he did that. In effect, he removed the need for any personal shame and guilt when we come to the cross. Now, through Christ's sacrifice on the cross, we have also been granted continual access into our Heavenly Father's presence. And what a blessing that is, that there's no distance between us. Even though we have to distance ourselves one from another now, God can come to us and we can be with him intimately, very close. And he's come near. And I'm so thankful for that through the cross. And because of the sin offering that Jesus made on the cross, we have an eternal home now reserved for us in heaven. Isn't that good news? That it is secure, and it's written on it, and we have it waiting for us, and praise to God for that. Now, for Jesus also, restoration of wrecked and ruined relationships is made possible. It will bring us to the foot of the cross. All these benefits, all of them, are summed up in Paul's words in the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. Listen closely for a repeat, which I'll do my very best to emphasize for you. Picking up in verse 3 of that text, Ephesians, it says, "Praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in before the creation of the world to be blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as through Jesus Christ, in his pleasure and will. The praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one who in him, with redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who are the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory." Did you notice how many times that it's stated that these benefits are all found in Christ? Did you notice that? Every one of them are found in Christ. Nowhere else. In Christ. Now, all of these amazing benefits, once more, have been provided freely for us. Isn't that good news? And since they have, we want to take advantage of them, do we not? How then can we make sure that we receive these benefits, that we are blessed by these benefits? Now, that might sound strange to some who have bought into the idea that everyone automatically benefits from the cross. So many think it's a given that everyone automatically benefits from the cross. After all, didn't God so love the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life? Yes. But notice the qualifier. That famous golden text verse, John 3:16, has a qualifier. It does say God gave his Son, all right, to the world, but it's whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. It's those who believe in him. It's believers in Jesus who benefit from the gift on the cross. In fact, if we read on in Ephesians 1, Paul has this to say. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Notice this, having believed, you were marked in him with a seal. The promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing the inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Now, we've seen that phrase quite a bit too, haven't we? To the praise of his glory, for the praise of his grace. We've seen that. But notice, once we believed, we are included in Christ. And that's where all the benefits are found, right? In Christ. So we want to be included in Christ, do we not? We want to be in Christ to receive the benefits of the cross. As we consider all those benefits from the cross, we want to, pardon the expression, cash in on them, don't we? We want to benefit from them. But what is it that we have to believe in order to be included in Christ? Now, quite simply, we need to believe in God and his love for us expressed in Jesus. We have to believe that he really did send his Son, and his Son really did lay down his life for us. That's what we need to believe in order to be included in Christ, and therefore having access to all of these benefits, all of these blessings. See, if the faith is genuine, we will be included in Christ, and we'll have access. We'll have all of these benefits available to us. Isn't that great news? Praise be to God for that. That's wonderful news. Now, accept this illustration, okay? I'm 68 years old. I know I don't look it. Yeah, I look every bit of it, I believe, these days. But I am. I'm 68 years old, and I'm entitled to Social Security benefits for my retirement. Hear me, this is not a charity though. It's not a charity. It's actually my money that I put into the account for that purpose. I did that for years. I receive a statement, matter of fact, periodically estimating how much I will receive once I start drawing. I have not started drawing yet. I'm letting that accumulate yet. I don't have the need for it just yet. Praise be to God, I'm able to continue to work and serve the church, and they compensate me, and I'm so thankful for that, that I can continue to work and serve the body of Christ. But that's Social Security benefits. In contrast, and see, this is contrast. We might think, oh, that's just the same, is it? No, it's not. There's a stark contrast. The benefits available to me in Christ are charity. They are charity. The Social Security benefits are not charity. I put the money in there. They're drawn interest. I'm going to receive it. But the benefits in Christ are charity. I contributed absolutely nothing. Everything that's in my account was transferred there by Jesus. That's the truth. I believe it. And I'm already receiving many of those benefits. Oh, the eternal home in heaven, I'm still waiting on that. I'm going to receive that. I believe that with all my heart. But there are many other benefits that I'm already receiving. There were spiritual benefits, spiritual blessings in Christ that were mentioned. And many of them are just knowing that I'm forgiven, knowing that I have this relationship with God in Christ, knowing there's no barrier between me and God, knowing that I am his child. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Those are benefits that I have in the here and the now. And I have the power of his salvation, the power of His Spirit in my life now. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. But isn't there something that I had to do to earn these benefits? Isn't there something that you have to do to earn those benefits? Well, no. All we have to do is believe. See, we were included when we believed. Well, wait a minute. You might object. Well, don't I need to confess? Well, yes. According to Jesus, do. In Luke 12, 8 and 9, he said, if we don't acknowledge him before others, he won't acknowledge us before his Father in heaven. So do we need to confess? Well, yes, we do. Paul also says in Romans 10:10, it's with your heart that you believe and you're justified, and it's with your mouth you profess your faith and are saved. So but we need to understand this. See, if you don't believe in your heart that Jesus died for your sins and rose again, it's just words. It's just lip service. The words of genuine faith, however, that are really coming from that heart of belief are, remember, to the praise of the glory of God and His grace. See, we are praise to His glory. We're praise to God. We're praise to His grace when we confess, when we do that, when we acknowledge what we believe in our heart. Well, don't I need to be baptized? Someone objects. Well, in the words of Jesus in the Great Commission, once again, you do. He said in Mark 16:16, remember when he got the disciples all together after he was raised from the dead, just before his ascension, he said, all authority has been given to me. You know, you need to go and make disciples of all people and baptize in the name of the Father and the Son. Well, in Mark 16:16, he actually put it this way. He said, go and preach the gospel to every creature under heaven. And those who respond to the good news about him, those who believe, he says specifically, and are baptized will be saved. That's the words of Jesus. That's out of his mouth. Notice, though, baptism is a response of personal faith, not a religious ritual. It's not just something, again, that we do, you know, to please others, or we do because we want to get a check mark. No. It's got to do with faith. And this is true also. Baptism is also a confession of that faith. Paul also links faith to baptism in Galatians 3, 26 and 27, when he says, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, notice that, baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. See, apart from faith, baptism won't get you wet. Apart from faith, confession is just words. When we think about these, both is the confession with our lips, the confession of baptism, again, the need for faith is so tantamount there. In fact, in 1 Peter 3, verse 18 and following, the apostle says this, Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom he also went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. And it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And then he says, verse 21, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. And a lot of people just stop right there and say, oh, see, baptism saves. But we need to read on. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Now see, it's interesting. In a like manner as Noah was saved by the flood, which seems kind of odd to say, because we would think, well, how did the flood save Noah? I mean, didn't the flood destroy people? How did the flood save him? Well, when he responded in faith, to do what God told him to do, to build that ark, as silly as that might sound to people around him, he built that ark It hadn't rained before. There hadn't been flooding like this before. But he did that because God told him to. And by doing that, when the floods came, he was raised by those waters up above where all destruction was happening. So, yeah, it seems kind of odd to say, but really it was his response of faith, see, that mattered, that made the difference. But Peter's very clear, see, in comparing that to baptism. He says in like manner or like figure, some would say, some versions. It's not the water, but a pledge of good conscience toward God. That's what it's about. Now think about that a minute. A pledge of good conscience? That's like saying a heartfelt promise that would be without merit, though. See, if not for Jesus having been raised from the dead. That's what it says. It's that power of Jesus' resurrection, see, his death, burial, and resurrection, that makes it possible, makes it not only possible, makes it reality when we put our faith there for us to be forgiven, for us to be made righteous, though we're unrighteous, for us to be brought near to God, though we were far away. Wow. Incredible. But see, baptism is also a faith response. It's a faith response. If the faith isn't there, then the baptism has no power. But even if our faith was in something that didn't really happen, then, or it was in somebody else other than Jesus, well, nothing would happen. See, the faith has got to be in Jesus and what he's done. See, once more, it's not what we do, but sincere faith in what Jesus did that gives access to all the benefits of the cross. So the question today is, do you believe? See, do you believe? If so, but you have not yet publicly confessed that belief, or you've not yet been united with him in baptism, then what's holding you back? What truthfully is holding you back? Because these are faith responses that Jesus calls for us to make. These are responses of faith that Jesus says, where we're declaring publicly that we believe. And these are, if you will, visual indications for others as well as for ourselves that we are coming to the cross to accept all the benefits provided there. I want to say to you today, if you have not believed in your heart and there's things you're wrestling with, questions you might have, we may not be able to meet one-on-one right now, but contact me. Reach out on our website. Reach out through email. Call me, if you will. And let's talk. I want to share with you the reason why this is so, so important for you to believe, and give you some evidence and some substance why you should. Also, if you have believed, but you haven't, you know, responded in faith, you haven't confessed yet, you haven't been united with Christ baptism, once again, the social distancing, I assure you, will not keep me from being able to help you to do those very things. We can work that out. But remember, it's God who works all things to the good for his purposes, and we're going to trust in him. Amen. God bless you. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of every name, in the power of his name, we ask you, Father, to bless us right now, to help us to take in this truth from your word, to digest it, Father, and do more than that, be nourished by it so that we can grow in our relationship with you and with each other. I would pray, Father, that we would thank you. We would have hearts full of gratitude right now. And sometimes, in times of distress, it's hard for us to do that. But we're praying, Father, that you would just fill us with this knowledge that we are in Christ. We're blessed. We are blessed people. So blessed. An abundance of blessings available to us. The benefits of the cross. And we praise you for that. But may our lives reflect that. May we be a praise to your name. May we be a praise to your glory. May we be a praise to your grace by living out and fleshing out our faith in the ways that you demonstrate and instruct us to do. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, who speaks to us through your word and Father, convinces us and leads us and counsels us. Thank you. Thank you. Bless everyone who's listening today, and may they be able to take another step closer to you, though you are not far from any of us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.